הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Great to be here. Is always kind of a homecoming for me, I think. Well, let me just open with a word of prayer. That's always a great place to start. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, I'm just humbled that you are giving me this opportunity, Lord, to speak truth, to speak your words, Lord, and I just pray that it would speak to people's hearts, and Lord, that it would draw us closer to you for your purposes and for your glory. B'shem Yeshua Meshekenu. Amen. So I want to start out with kind of something on behalf of the family. So if we could put up the family picture, that's the crew on vacation last year. My four children, we're all dedicated in this congregation. So it really is important to me. One of the pews has a plaque on it that's dedicated to my mother and father, of blessed memory. And so this place is important. I have four children in that picture, three spouses, three of them are married, and 11 grandchildren. And so for any of you who know the family, we can look at my phone afterwards. I've got the same picture and you can see if you can pick out who's who. But anyway, the Lord has blessed tremendously. And so family, grandchildren, and then as we just talked about, the next picture should be the grand building. as we are excited, yes. Okay, we're in the process of renovating. And this has just been a blessing of the Lord. And I'll share in a minute, but I wanted to start with the pictures to begin with. I think I have about 20 more pictures of the family. But that's right. Kevin basically shared half the message in the Rabbi Kevin in the introduction. But anyway, we'll skip the family pictures and just get on with it here. What an amazing time to be asked to bring a message. Rabbi Kevin, the Solomons, Rabbi Robert, Miss Dottie, of blessed memory in days gone by, had tremendous influence on my family. And so it's always great to come here. But now I'm coming here in the middle of a time when our people, Israel, are at war. And it's a war like we have never seen up to this point. And so I felt like, okay, I've got to say something about that, but who knows what the state of things is going to be in when I talk. We know what happened on October 7th. We know that Hamas deliberately targeted and killed Israeli civilians and took hostages of almost 250, including babies and grandmothers. And yet somehow this world is sympathetic to their cause at the moment. they weren't at first, but it shows us just how quickly things can change in this world, how fickle it can be, how much the adversary is able to influence the enemies of God, the enemies of the Jewish people. And of course, up north, there's another terrorist group, Hezbollah, who has regularly been launching rockets and mortars from Lebanon since the war started. And these are groups are supported by Iran, which is why there were senior Iranian planners in Syria, which Israel had the opportunity to take them out. And that's exactly what they did. And then we had the response from Iran last week, as Rabbi Kevin talked about. And he described it as a modern day miracle. And, you know, we're going to get together and celebrate next week the miracle of Passover. But that's kind of a long time ago. yet we have miracles taking place in the world today. We see them in Israel, but we also see them in our own lives. That building I'll share in a few minutes more, that's another thing I wanted to talk about. That's a miracle in our congregational life. And there are also miracles in our personal lives. I mean, healthy children and grandchildren. Sometimes we take that for granted. Safety and travel. Sometimes when I drive to my synagogue on a Friday night, I forget to pray beforehand about safety and travel. And I forget to thank the Lord when I get there safely. But in Atlanta, I don't forget. I lived here for 14 years, and one thing I do not miss is the traffic. Greenville's a little bit smaller town. Most traffic lights I can make through in one sequence, and it's just a little bit of an interesting process. But that just shows how easy it is to take for granted the blessings of the Lord, the blessing of this congregation, the blessing of community. And so we have the opportunity to remember through times that the Lord has established, to remember his blessing in our lives. And, you know, we look at the events that took place with the attack last week, and we're trying to kind of make sense of it, and even the attack, I guess, yesterday or the day before by Israel, and trying to figure out what's going on. In reality, this may not have been so much a test of Israel's defenses, but of Israel's God. Because while Israel is fighting against enemies that seek its destruction, there's also a spiritual war going on, amen? Between the God of Islam, who the Muslims believe is on their side. Virtually everything they say is followed by God willing. But we know God is unwilling to allow them to bring harm to his people. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, we see an assurance from the Lord of hosts. In the Hebrew, it's Adonai Tzevaot. Nobody in my congregation can pronounce that right. It is irritating. So let's try it. Adonai Tzevaot, a little history lesson. We already did hallelujah, praise the Lord. But Adonai, the Lord, Tzava is an army. It really means the Lord of armies. Sometimes even translated the Lord of heaven's armies. And he tells our people in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, whenever I read verses that are favorable towards the Jewish people, I tend to use non-messianic translations, just so you'll know that it wasn't the translators who decided to make this look good for them, but it was the Lord. He's described the Jewish people as the apple of his eye in Zechariah 2:12. Zechariah 2:12 says, Adonai Tzevaot, for thus says Adonai Tzevaot, he has sent me after glory to the nations that plundered you, because he is who is coming against you is coming against the apple of his eye. And so we are blessed to see that the Lord remains faithful to our people Israel. And that is the foundational basis for our confidence of all of the promises that he has made in Scripture after the establishment of his covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we've talked about, we're getting ready to celebrate the upcoming miracle of Passover, when the Lord heard the cry of our people. He's not some God way far off just looking down to see if we've been good or bad, but the reality is he heard the cries, and he sent a deliverer, Moshe. Our people were experiencing bitter bondage in Egypt, and the deliverer was sent, and it brought deliverance. And we remember that in our Passover Seder every week. Now, I'm not sure how chocolate exactly ties into that, And I don't remember doing the chocolate Seder back when I was there. And if I had the time and wasn't doing our own Seder, and if the traffic was a lot more fun, I might come on Wednesday just to find out. But I've been doing Passover since I was a little kid. I remember that we would gather at the grandparents' house, and all of a sudden, this room that had been kind of like a bedroom sitting room, all of a sudden had a table in it with a white tablecloth on it and chairs all the way around, and the family would all cram in, and my grandfather would be dressed in his kittle and conducting the Seder. And the things I really remember are just waiting a long, long time before we got to eat. Getting really, really hungry, and then tearing a place apart with the search for the afikoman. And Passover is important, this remembrance. It's so important that the Jewish people were told that if they were unable to observe it at its appointed time, the 14th day of the first month, because they were out of town, you know, I'm sorry, I was out of town, you know, just we'll have to do it next year. Wasn't able to make it this year. No. Had been defiled by a dead body. Lord said, observe it exactly 1 month later on the 14th day of the second month. And so, you know, it's really an important time in the life of our people. It's a time when God demonstrated his power over the most powerful nation in this world who had our people in bondage. You know, it's one thing to kind of be able to wage war or free yourselves from a people who are oppressing you. But when you're in bondage, it's going to take a miracle. And that's exactly what it took. And so those are two of the things that I will touch on. The third thing is that when we started coming to Beth Hillel, it started out, it was just my wife, Sarah Francis, and we started attending in 1984. And eventually we would have, as I said, our four children while we were in this congregation. And I'm hoping someday to be able to bring the whole crew, or at least as many are able to make it, to kind of renew acquaintances and just, you know, there's a tendency to have nostalgia, to remember where you came from. And that's why I'm going to share a little bit about, you know, people talk about the Jewish roots. Well, there's a little bit of the Beth Hillel roots. When we first came to Beth Hillel, as Rabbi hinted at, he had just had his bar mitzvah. And the congregation was meeting in a small shopping center on Buford Highway, right next to a Domino's Pizza and across the street from the IRS. That's how we used to give the people the directions. And Rabbi E, used to always say, based on Zechariah 4, verse 10, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And I say that over and over as a messianic movement, as a smaller congregation. You know, the Lord is more powerful than, and everything, some amazing things have started with just a small group. And the place we met in Buford Highway, I know one thing, it was a lot smaller than this. So, you know, sometimes that's how things start out. So after a couple of years over there, a bunch of us were invited to a groundbreaking. Actually, I realized we were given little shovels. The congregation had purchased 7 acres of ground in Roswell. And we were coming to the groundbreaking, but had a little trouble finding the place. There wasn't a lot out this way. And the road starts out as Magnolia Street. And then it turns into Pine Grove Road. And then it turns into Shalaford Road. Now, this is without any GPS. You either used a map, or you relied on the directions someone gave you, or you asked for directions at a gas station. And I think we did all three that day. We eventually found it. They gave us little commemorative shovels. I believe I still have mine. It had a Star of David. I think that's peeled off. I've used it a few times. But you talk about small beginnings. We were here breaking ground for what this congregation would become. But Rabbi Kevin could have told you a lot of this. So why am I telling you? And the reason is because that's the vision, that's the experience, that's what we're expecting to see in Greenville, South Carolina. For 20 years, we've been, the technical term for where we're located is the boonies, okay? And so it's only about 10, 15 miles south of town where most of the Jewish community is, but it might as well be 50 or 100 because very few of the Jewish people of Greenville were coming to where we were located. And so we have been trying for more than 10 years to find a place closer to the Jewish community so that we might be able to bring the message of the Jewishness of Messiah to them more effectively. Excuse me. For more than 10 years, whenever we would attend a rabbi's meeting in Orlando, our first primary prayer request would be to find a building in Greenville. And I was beginning to have my doubts. I was saying, you know, Lord, the years are ticking by. And I was friends with a number of the traditional rabbis in the community, and they were all leaving. One of them even passed away. And so it was like, you know, the influence is waning. It seems like now would be the time. And so we finally came across this one building about a year and a half ago. And it was significantly out of our price range. But it was the only thing that we had found in 10 years that was even a possibility. And I showed pictures of the building to Rabbi Kevin and other rabbis at the rabbis conference in 2023. And I just asked for prayer that by some miracle, the bank would loan us the money, you know, so that we could make this purchase. And we received much favor from the Lord in the process. And that's why we know it's all of Him, because money wasn't the only issue. We also had to get zoning approval to change the use of the property from office space to an assembly space. And additionally, the building is very close to the downtown airport. So it looked like we would also need a recommendation from the State Airport Commission. Now, that all sounds pretty simple until you realize, or maybe not so simple, but the reality was we had to do it in a very short period of time. We signed the contract in November of 2022, provided we could get the approvals. Our loan approval came through the next month, which was a miracle right there. You know, when you're doing something like this, other people say, hey, I got a banker friend. He'll help you out. I know he'll really take care of you. We talked to him. He was willing to loan us one quarter of the building purchase price. So we really had favor with one of the local banks, who it turns out actually already had the mortgage on the building from the seller, and that may have influenced things. And all of these things just kind of fit together. Our loan approval in December was good through April 15th. So we basically had 3.5 months to get everything else worked out. And during this time, there were a couple of bank failures. So I was pretty confident that if our loan wasn't approved, the bank might not be as favorable if we didn't get the closing done by April 15th. But just a little over 4 months after signing the contract at our Hotel Seder last year, so virtually 1 year ago, we were able to announce that we'd received all of the needed approvals. And we had to get approvals for a building that we didn't even own, which is next to impossible. There's no way to accomplish that. But our God is a God who, with Him, nothing is impossible, right? And so, you know, we know that this is of Him. We know it's not just about having a building, but it's going to be the impact on the community. That's the reason that He is bringing us closer. Because we already had a building until we just recently sold it. So, and we've received amazing support that has been a blessing financially. This congregation has been a blessing to us. Rabbi Kevin has offered so much encouragement, and I just appreciate all your prayers and support, and hope that you will be able to come at some point because you are a part of this. We also had things work out in such a way that we did most of the demolition. And then I used to joke with my congregation and say, we finished the demolition, so now we're starting the molition. But we've saved tens of thousands of dollars by being able to do most of the demolition ourselves and some of the renovation. And so it started out as an office building. We've removed most of the offices and replaced them with a sanctuary that is similar in size to the one we have now, and a fellowship area that's about 25% larger than what we have now. Rabbi Robert once came to our congregation, and he said, you guys need more space. You got to cut down on some space of this fellowship area and use it for more space. And we're like, fellowship is an important part of what we do. We have essentially a covered dish dinner on Friday night. They lay out some serious schmear on Friday night. And so instead, we just took out a room in the corner that was a gift shop and expanded it. So, but now our fellowship area will be 25% larger. We may even be able to hold our Passover Seder there instead of at the hotel as we're doing this year. We currently have an office, a gift shop, and a nursery, three rooms, but our new building is going to have 8 rooms, an additional 2 offices and 3 classrooms. And we also have a business that is renting part of the building right now. That means we can't use all our space, but if the Lord blesses and we grow, we have that possibility. But it turns out the rental income was an important part of getting the loan approval. So what seemed like, that's a little bit of a problem, it ended up being part of the pieces of the puzzle that the Lord was putting into place so that would happen. And so we're hopeful, current schedule, Shavuot, to about 7 weeks or so, to be able to hold services in our new building. And we are excited, and we appreciate all the support, encouragement, and blessings that we have received. So for a few minutes now, I want to talk about the weekly portions, or, well, maybe not exactly. Actually, the last time I was here, I spoke on Torah portion Metzorah. Anybody remember that? Well, guess what the portion is for this week? Metzorah. So I said, okay, well, I'll just read you the same message and y'all will be really happy. no. And I used to pick out verses that were being read for the scripture portion of the service. And Rabbi Robert would tell me, pick out verses that are really encouraging. And in this portion, that is really a challenge. So I decided, I think at the end of the Torah portion that we read about today, it was talking about you have to go through keep these instructions or else you will die. I'm not sure that fits the requirement. Last night, the Haftarah portion they read, the last verse was the king died. And so I was like, okay, we'll not do that portion again. But if you're interested in seeing it, it's actually on Sara'at, is the main thing that we talk about. And all you have to do is Google YouTube and Beth Hillel and Todd Lesser, and you'll be able to see my last 2 messages. And hopefully you'll come to an understanding of what the Lord reveals through this affliction that only he can bring on people and only he can remove. And I think it's really a setup for Yeshua healing the men with Sara'at, the accounts that we find in the New Covenant scriptures in Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 17. But I decided I would talk about Passover. and something that I think is an overlooked part of Exodus chapter 12. You know, in the chapter, it tells you month of Passover is the beginning of months and that you're to select a lamb that you're to eat as the Passover along with the maror, the bitter herbs, and the matzah, the unleavened bread. And then it tells us that we're not to eat unleavened bread for 7 days and we're to tell our children about this service and why we're doing it. And then we continue on a little bit, and we come to a passage that's kind of interesting, and the reason I've zeroed in on that is I've had people come up to me before we have our congregational Seder, and they say, is it okay for me to come? Because I'm not circumcised. And I'm like, I'll take your word for it. And I believe that your heart is circumcised as a believer. So we really don't have to worry, you know, too much about the instructions regarding circumcision and partaking of the Passover that begins in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43. But then I realized, you know, maybe there's more to this than I realized. And it comes partly from the fact that many believers see their relationship to the Lord as primarily an individual thing. And this approach, combined with replacement theology, causes many Christians to miss out on the spiritual significance of Israel. They often don't realize that God's faithfulness to Israel is the basis for his faithfulness to them. As a result, they more readily buy into the world's lies about Israel and the Jewish people. They may more quickly question Israel's right to even defend itself against her enemies or to dwell in the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants forever. But the Lord does deal with us individually, but there are many things in the scriptures, including the right to the land of Israel, that are dealing with the Jewish people as a community, meaning that one generation of the Jewish people can be kicked out of the land and another one can be brought into it. And according to Amos 9, verses 14 and 15, it says never to be uprooted again. I might worry a little bit, it may be part of our Jewish heritage, at least in particular my family, to get a little anxious at times. And when we look at what's going on in Israel and even in our country, we haven't seen events like this in our lifetime. But when we read verses like that, we are confident that the Lord is in charge. And as a people, God says, okay, I'm going to give you special times to help you remember my times when I enabled you to overcome circumstances and enemies who it seemed like it would be impossible for you to defeat them. So a month ago, right? Purim. We boo Haman, right? Then at Passover, that was when we overcame a date that was set for our elimination as a people against who? The Persians. Modern-day Iran. And then at Passover, we search for the Afikoman we realize that God has provided the Afikoman in the form of his son, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But that was against Egypt, the empire of that time. And then we have Hanukkah, where we light the menorah, because we overcame the Syrians, the most powerful army in the world, and Antiochus and all the restrictions and afflictions that he imposed on us as a people. So Iran, Syria, and Egypt, our people, and in a minority as farmers and didn't have any regular military weapons, weren't soldiers, nonetheless, we gain the victory over Iran, Egypt, and Syria. And we remember that three times each year, as if they're there's really more times, but those three are very meaningful in the light. They're probably the three holidays that are observed even by secular Jewish people. And growing up, we did the Hanukkah, we did Purim a little bit. If we... It's based on the book of Esther, so we knew about it, and I actually was in a Purim play in my younger days, but Purim, you kind of have to go to the synagogue to participate, and we didn't do that growing up until I got around to the time of my bar mitzvah. But anyway, another example of a community event actually took place a little bit earlier in this service. Now, we have to realize God is all about unity, and that means that the adversary is going to be about disunity. He's going to bring division between husbands and wives, between families, between members of congregations. He just likes to create conflict, and so we have to be aware of that. But we proclaim, we make community statements. One example is, let's just say the English of the Shema that we said earlier from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, say it with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord my God. Oh, wait. You said it different. You said our God. That's a community statement, right? Now, that could be coincidence. The Hebrew there is Eloheinu. It's definitely our God. But the next verse in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, and you individually shall love the Lord your God. It's Elohecha, your God individually. From one verse to the next, there's a change. That's not an accident. That's not a grammatical thing. That is, we go from making a community statement about the oneness of our God to serving him, each of us, individually with all of our heart, soul, and might. And unfortunately, in the English, we use the same word when we use you in the singular and the plural, so you can't always see it. In the Hebrew, it's there. In some translations, it's there. But it's an important concept because it reflects community. Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, talks about appointed times throughout the year when we're to have Mikra Kodesh, a sacred assembly, a holy convocation, when we're to come together as a community. One of those is on a weekly basis, right? It's called the Shabbat, right? Or Shabbos, if you're from the old country. And the point is, the Lord has established times for us to come together as a community. Beth Hillel's motto is a motto of community. It used to be on the front of the songbooks. We don't have songbooks anymore. Do you all know the motto? Psalm 133, verse 1. I'll do it in English. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right out of the scriptures. And so now let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 43, with all that having been said. Beginning in verse 43, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible, which was the first Messianic translation that we used here. Adonai said to Moshe and Aharon, this is the regulation for the Pesach lamb. No foreigner is to eat it. The Hebrew actually says no ben nachar, no literally son of a foreigner is to eat of it. But then verse 44 says, if anyone has a slave he bought for money, when you've circumcised him, he may eat it. that's kind of part of the basis for people raising that issue. The Hebrew eved here can mean slave or servant. Verse 45 says, neither a traveler, toshav, or a hired servant, sahir, may eat it. So now here's two categories, can't eat it no matter what. Verse 46 is to be eaten in one house. You're not to take any of the meat outside the house. You're not to break any of its bones. Verse 47, the whole community of Israel is to keep it, a dot. If a foreigner staying with you wants to observe Adonai's Pesach, verse 48, all his males must be circumcised. Now, wait a minute. That said, if a foreigner, and in verse 43, it said no foreigner. The reality is the Hebrew is a completely different word. It's the word ger. And I believe that the best translation for that is sojourner. So let's summarize. There were some foreigners, Gentiles, who were not allowed to partake in community rituals, including the Passover. The servant, even though they're there involuntarily, nonetheless, they're going to be at community events. And so we see that household servants were circumcised by Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 13. But there was one category of Gentile. And by the way, the Hebrew word for nations is goyim. And it simply means one from the nations, usually translated Gentile. In the Greek, it's ethnos. It means one from the nations, usually translated as Gentile. But one category of Gentile was a voluntary part of the community. And they could partake of the Passover. But if they chose to do so, all of the males in their family had to be circumcised. So that really represents a rejection of their pagan idolatry, and they're embracing the God of Israel as the God they desire to worship. And for some reason, Most translations use terms that really don't sound very inclusive. As I said, the CJB's using foreigner, King James, ESV, and NIV give us stranger, and New American Standard gives us alien. Now, does outsider sound like part of the community? How about stranger or alien? And yet the Israelites are told that the sojourner is a blessing. They are to treat them well. Deuteronomy 10, verse 19 says, you are to love the ger, the sojourner, because you were gerim, sojourners, in the land of Egypt. And a lot of translations are, you are to love the stranger because you were sojourners. In other words, they translate it right one time, but they're interpreting the Hebrew, the same Hebrew word two different ways. When could our existence in Egypt be described as sojourning? I kind of wondered this. You know, we were there as slaves. But then I realized that's not how things started out. When Jacob and his family went to Egypt, it was a blessing. We went there with Pharaoh inviting us, the Pharaoh who knew Joseph. And I believe the concept of the sojourner is a concept of inclusiveness and blessing as a part of the community. The only place that I know the term ger is used throughout Numbers chapter 15, and I'll leave that to yourself. It's about community offerings and about dealing with unintentional and intentional sins and what would happen. But it's important that we understand this concept because in a messianic congregation, there are those who were raised in Judaism, and there are those who are sojourning, who are an important part of our community. And the reality is, even though you're not Jewish, you're an important part of the community. Most messianic congregations in the United States would not exist without the sojourners in our midst. We didn't realize that's the way it was going to be back in the 80s, but that's how it's turned out. We embrace you as an important part of this modern day movement proclaiming the Jewishness of Messiah Yeshua to our Jewish people, to proclaiming the Jewishness of our new covenant faith to those seeking to understand their part in the final renewal of the covenant. Of course, all of the covenants were made with the Jewish people. Paul says that in Romans 9, verse 4. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, where it's talking about this final covenant renewal, the Brit Kadeshah, it says, the day is coming, says the Lord, that I will make a Brit Kadeshah, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And so the reality is that that's who God established the covenants with. But what can Israel do to lose out on their covenant promises? Well, individually, that can happen. You can read about that in Numbers 15. For both the native-born Israelite and the sojourner in the community. But God says in following the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37, it says, thus saith the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of his hosts, Adonai Tzivaot, is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Paul asks a lot of questions in the book of Romans. Have they stumbled that they should fall? The Greek says, meganoito, may it never be. Heaven forbid, let it not happen. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. The nation of Israel, I have chosen them for a special purpose, and my faithfulness is on the line concerning their existence. And so they are never going to be again uprooted when I bring them back into the land. They're not there because of their faithfulness. They're there because of my faithfulness. And so the reality is that this final covenant renewal between God and the Jewish people reveals that he will not reject his people, This covenant is based on a forgiveness that comes through the shed blood of Messiah Yeshua. It's not based on the Levitical sacrifices. There's a greater sacrifice with a greater high priest. The book of Hebrews talks about that. And that means the blessing of this covenant are available to all who would call upon Yeshua as the sacrifice for their sins. So the reality is, our understanding of this final covenant renewal should enable us to come together. There's a lot of different groups in the Bible, but the one new man is overcoming our cultural differences because of the work of Messiah Yeshua in our lives and in the life of the congregation. And so we see that God has enabled us in the midst of all the mishigas, the craziness in this world that we are seeing, the cultural craziness, the sympathy that we saw for, a week or two after October 7th has turned to hostility all over the world. But God has provided the eternal way that we are included in his plans, that we can draw closer to him. And it's through the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua. And not only is that a community blessing, but it's an individual blessing as well. That we cannot achieve righteousness, no matter how good we try to be. Our righteousness looks like filthy rags before the Lord. And so he had to provide the way of righteousness. And he did that through the sacrifice of his son. Spiritually, we are all foreigners because of our sin, if you will. We are separated from God. The only way that we can draw near, that we can become a part of God's community, is to sojourn with him through the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua in spirit and in truth. At Passover, we remember as a community, God displayed his power against all the gods of Egypt, as it says in Exodus 12, verse 12. But it's talking about what took place after the last plague. The final plague was death of the firstborn, Tov Meod, gold stars. I give you a chance to participate because it's getting late, and we used to be next to Domino's Pizza. And when Rabbi Robert ran late and you started to smell that pizza smell, you kind of tuned it out. So in closing, I want to point out that death of the firstborn was a judgment against the gods of Egypt. But the reality is, God knew that he would provide death of the firstborn that would be what would restore us to him. It was his son, his firstborn son. And so the reality is, at Passover, we had to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorposts and the lintel over the door as a way of having the Lord pass over when this judgment was pronounced throughout the land. But now today, we can take the Lamb of God, as he's called by Yochanan, by John, who takes away the sin of the world, and we can apply his blood to the doorposts of our hearts. And we can experience deliverance from our sins. As we read in the New Covenant portion, we don't have to be slaves to sin, which leads to death, but we can be slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And so I just want to say that there may be some here, there may be some watching on the live stream who see this message at some point, and you realize that individually, you need the one way of salvation, the one way that you can have forgiveness for your sins, the one way that you can have a restored relationship with the creator of the universe. And so right now, I'd like to ask, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you can be right here this morning, you can be watching online later. But if you want to say, for the first time in your life, yes, I want to accept Yeshua as my Messiah. I want to accept the sacrifice that the Lamb has provided on my behalf. All you have to do is raise your hand and you can put it right back down. Is there anyone? We always give that opportunity. We never assume that everybody's made that decision. We just rejoice when anybody raises their hand to make that decision. I made that decision 40-something years ago. And it has just been such a blessing to me. As I said, it encourages me when I see what's going on in the world that I don't have to be so anxious, because I realize that the promises of God are yes and amen, and that we can trust in His promises individually. Now, you may be here tonight and you need a miracle. You know, we just said that our God is a God of miracles. And so He can do a miracle of healing. He can do a miracle of financial blessing. He can do a miracle of bringing back a child who has strayed. Whatever it might be, you can believe Him for that miracle right now. And if you'd like to do that, or if He's shown you something else, I just ask you to raise your hand just so that you'll remember, God, this was the day that I asked for that miracle, and I look forward to being able to give the testimony. When you bring about what seems impossible, if you can bring about a building for that congregation in Greenville, if you can bring safety and the return of the hostages, even if it takes a miracle, you can do miracles in our lives today. So, Lord, we ask You to forgive us of our sins. Lord, as we get ready to experience Passover, we ask You to watch over Your people, protect them, free them from bondage, whether spiritual or physical, in terms of the hostages. And, Lord, just help us to experience this upcoming Passover time with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives, in the life of this congregation, in the life of our people Israel. And we ask these things in our Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you all. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for inviting me, Rabbi Kevin. Have a great week. Chag Sameach. Enjoy Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.